Thank you for reading that for us, John. Let's pray as we open up that passage together. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word to us. Thank you that by your Holy Spirit you inspired Matthew, you gave Matthew the right words to write down, that you reminded him exactly what Jesus said, and that you caused him to write your words. And we thank you that by your Holy Spirit you speak to us through the scriptures today. So, Father, we pray that as we think about these wonderful words of Jesus, that you would change our hearts and you would change our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, if you do have your Bibles closed up there, do open them again at page 976. Page 976 and Matthew 11. It's really important that we have our Bibles open on a Sunday afternoon because I want everybody here to be comfortable and confident that what I'm saying is what is written there in the Bible. And if you think that I've said something that isn't right, then please come up to me afterwards with your Bible open and say, John, what did you mean by that? Not quite sure you got that right. So please do have your Bibles open because that's the best way we can all be certain that God is speaking to us through the scriptures by his Spirit. I wonder what it is that you make of Jesus. What's the first word that comes into your mind when I say his name? Just have a think about that for about 3 seconds or so. If I say Jesus, what do you think about? Some of us will have thought about episodes from Jesus' life, I'm sure. Perhaps Jesus' birth as a baby in the stable at the first Christmas. Or maybe we thought about Jesus dying on the cross and then being raised to life on that first Easter morning. Some of us will have thought about different names of Jesus, I should think. Maybe Lord or Messiah or Saviour. Maybe Lamb of God, Son of God or Son of Man. Or maybe some thought about the different aspects of Jesus' character. Maybe that he's loving, that he's kind, that he's generous, or that he's forgiving. Well, in today's passage, we have a rounded picture of Jesus given to us. And we're going to see two things about him. We're going to see Jesus the King issuing some dire but loving warnings. And we're going to see Jesus as friend, offering us a wonderful future and a wonderful present. The first half of our passage is quite difficult to hear, but good friends say the hard things as well as the easy things, don't they? A good friend will tell you when things aren't quite right, and Jesus does that too. And we'll look at that in a moment, and we will get to the really lovely words at the end too. But first of all, let's have a look at Jesus' hard words first. So we're in verses 20 to 24 on page 976, and we're thinking about listening to Jesus, the King, who has a loving warning for us. Look with me at verse 20. Then Jesus began to denounce the towns in which most of his miracles had been performed, because they did not repent. Woe to you, Chorazin. Woe to you, Bethsaida. Now that word woe is one of those Bible words that needs a little bit of explaining. The definition in English of woe, if you're not talking to a horse, the definition of English for woe is something like great sorrow or distress, isn't it? So when we hear in the Bible, woe to you, the thing we sometimes hear is Jesus calling down judgment on somebody or something, calling down horrible things on them, wanting that to happen. But Jesus is actually doing exactly the opposite here. Actually, woe in the Bible means alas or pity on. And it's mixed with a huge sense of heartfelt warning. Warning because the people who woe is directed to have set their own direction in life, and they're walking this way, away from Jesus. So far from calling down judgment on Chorazin and Bethsaida, Jesus is pitying them through tears of anguish. He knows the course that they've set for themselves. After all, the people of those towns, even though they'd heard Jesus, they'd had so much advantage, they were still going their own way. Here's Matthew 9:35. Flick back to page 974 and Matthew chapter 9, verse 35. And this is the start of this section of Matthew's gospel. And Matthew writes this: Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and illness. Now flick back to page 976 again and today's passage and verse 20. Then Jesus began to denounce the towns in which most of his miracles had been performed because they did not repent. The very people among whom Jesus had been ministering hadn't actually turned to follow him. They'd seen with their own eyes all that he could do. They'd heard with his own ears all that he said. They'd had a preview of that glorious new creation from which the effects of sin and the effects of brokenness were banished, where hunger and thirst were no more. And yet, they still kept going their own way, set their own direction, walking away from Jesus, not towards him, enjoying his benefits, but dismissing his call. Well, two implications come out of this. Firstly, it helps us to be realistic about what mission is like. If Jesus came across lots of people who'd heard his teaching from his own mouth, people who'd been healed by him so that they personally and their families were no longer sick and were no longer about to die, and yet they didn't believe, well then, we shouldn't be surprised, should we, as we share the good news of Jesus with our friends, with our family members, and with our colleagues and school friends, we shouldn't be surprised if many of them don't believe either. Secondly, we shouldn't be surprised when even some of the most advantaged people, some of those who've heard Jesus week in, week out, for months, years, maybe even decades. Maybe decades of church going. We shouldn't be surprised if some of them don't come to Jesus. Why do some congregations, some entire denominations, lose sight of the central truths of the gospel of grace? Well, it's because some of the most advantaged people, those who hear Jesus' teaching week in, week out, even some church leaders, have never actually themselves turned to Jesus in repentance and faith. Verse 21. Woe to you, alas, pity on you. Be warned of your direction, Chorazin. Woe to you, alas, pity on you. Be warned of your direction, Bethsaida. And the consequences of never actually repenting and turning to Jesus are pitiable. They're disastrous. They're of the making, though, aren't they, of those unrepentant people themselves. Verse 21 again. Woe to you, Bethsaida. Woe to you, Chorazin. Woe to you, Bethsaida. For if the miracles that were performed in you had been performed in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes, verse 22. But I tell you, it will be more bearable for Tyre and Sidon on the day of judgment than for you. And you, Capernaum, will you be lifted to the heavens? No, you will go down to Hades. For if the miracles that were performed in you had been performed in Sodom, it would have remained to this day. But I tell you that it will be more bearable for Sodom on the day of judgment than for you. Pity on the unrepentant, those who won't turn to Jesus for themselves. Pity because there will be a day of judgment. It is coming. Jesus lovingly warns even the unrepentant to change their course. It's not too late. Because as sure as night follows day, there will be a day of judgment. A day when God will call everyone to account to how they have responded to Jesus personally. Those who've repented of their sin, who've turned away from their old direction, and who have turned their course to follow Jesus, those people will be welcomed into the kingdom of heaven. However, those who've never turned to Jesus for themselves, acknowledged him as their own king, those who've set their own course in life and have stuck to it, they'll face God's settled, personal, and permanent wrath. They'll face it themselves. In fact, it'll be worse for those who have heard the good news of the gospel of grace and kept going in their own way than it will be for those infamous Old Testament cities of Tyre, Sidon, and Sodom. Cities known in the Old Testament for the worst, most shocking types of sinful behaviour recorded anywhere in the Bible. They make Hollywood's recent sex scandals look like something from a knitting magazine. If you want to find out more, read Genesis chapter 19 if you dare. Not repenting, rejecting Jesus' message when we've heard it, is the most serious sin that there is. We should pity, feel deep woe for such people. Listen to Jesus the King's loving warning. Secondly, come to Jesus, the friend. And we're in verses 25 to 30. Come to Jesus, the friend. If Jesus had stopped speaking at verse 24, we'd be left wondering, wouldn't we, what hope is there for anyone at all? If even the most advantaged people can't even turn to Jesus, then who will? Who can? Well, actually, Jesus is overjoyed because the way to heaven is open for those who don't arrogantly stick to their own course they've set for themselves. It's those people who are humble, who are like little children, those who know that they need guiding, those who simply trust Jesus' words. They hear him and instinctively, intuitively agree with what he says. It's those people to whom the Father reveals the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Verse 25. At that time, Jesus said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and the learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this is what you were pleased to do. How does the Father reveal these things of Jesus to us? Well, verse 27. No one knows the Father except the Son and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. As we humble ourselves before Jesus, and particularly before his words that we read in the Bible, it's as we do that that he reveals himself and his Father to us. And when Jesus makes God known to us, we hear his gentle call, verse 28. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." We'll hear that call and we just won't help but be able to respond to it. And Jesus bears our load for us. And he bears our load in three wonderful ways. The first is when he stretched out his arms on that cross and he bore the weight of his people's sin upon his shoulders. The heavy weight of sin is taken off as we hear Jesus's call, as we repent and we stop taking our own course in life and we turn and we follow Jesus. The heavy weight that crushes and leads to permanent spiritual death is lifted and it's replaced with the promise of eternal rest, life in the kingdom of heaven for all eternity. Many of us here today will have already come to Jesus in that way, but there may well be one or two who haven't done that yet for themselves, who haven't yet turned to him and allowed him to take their heavy load of deathly sin from them. If you're one of them, I wonder if you've heard Jesus' call today. I wonder whether you're ready to swap that deathly weight of sin for the new life Jesus is waiting to give to you. The second wonderful way that Jesus takes our load is by carrying the weight of our troubles in our lives. One of the most enormous privileges of being in a church family like this one is that we get to see up close and personal, don't we, snapshots of Jesus bearing the burdens of his children, those burdens that they were carrying for themselves. Seeing lives changed and our brothers and sisters slowly transformed as Jesus lifts the weight of this world off them. Are you feeling burdened by the pressure of family life? By the weight of expectations at school or at work, by anxiety, by worries about the future, by uncertainty, by strained friendships maybe. If that's ye, then hear Jesus' gentle call. Hand over whatever it is that's worrying you, that's weighing you down. Talk to him about it. He wants to hear. Ask him for help. Talk to and pray with a Christian friend. Ask them to take you to Jesus. And he'll gently put you back together and fix you. Let him take your load. He'll give you that rest. The rest from carrying that load by yourself. I've had the privilege of seeing four or five people this year, and it's only just turned February, hasn't it? The privilege of seeing four or five people this year begin to hand over their burdens to Jesus. And it is just a beautiful thing to see. It's like they've had a new lease of life. Well, here's the third wonderful way Jesus carries our load. Look with me at verse 29. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and humble of heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. No, he's not talking about eggs. Jesus is talking about that piece of wood that joins oxen together as they plough together. You might have seen pictures of oxen with a wood plank joining them with a hole for each of their heads. And they're yoked together and they pull a plough along behind them. And Jesus wants us to take his yoke to allow him to direct us through life. Why? Because he's gentle. He won't push and pull you like the world buffets and tosses us around. He'll gently lead you in straight paths by tranquil waters. Allow him to do that, and he'll transform your life to be the way he designed it should be lived. And then your eyes will be set on him, and the endless struggle in life will just begin to fade away and eventually be over. Trying to find the right path will be a thing of the past, as Jesus sets you on your way, sets your direction for you, and holds your hand through life. And you will find rest for your restless soul. That doesn't mean to say life is going to be a breeze. It doesn't mean to say all the difficulties of life will disappear totally. They may well not. But with Jesus setting your direction, you'll know that whatever comes your way, you will be as safe as houses. Hear the call of Jesus, the friend. So I wonder what you make of Jesus this afternoon. Have you heard Jesus the King's loving warning? Have you turned to him for yourself? And have you heard the call of Jesus the friend? Have you handed over your life to him? Not just bits of it, all of it. Are you taking his gentle lead? Are you allowing him to set your direction? Stopping going your own way and allowing him to set it for you. If you are, then you'll know all too well the wonderful blessings that are yours, that he pours out on you, even when problems and difficulties come your way. You'll know the guiding hand of your best friend forever. Some questions are going to come up on the screen. There they are. Let's spend 2 or 3 minutes just thinking about those, and then I'll lead us in a prayer. So have you personally come to Jesus in repentance and faith? Or are you still rejecting his call? How have you seen Jesus taking your load or the load of someone else? Give thanks for that. And what do you need to hand over to Jesus? Who could you talk to and pray with about that? Let me pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for warning us about future judgment, and yet not just leaving us there by calling us to yourself. Thank you for that loving, gentle call. We pray, Father, that each of us would hear it and would hand ourselves over to you, knowing that you will lead us in your direction. Please, Father, would you bless us with that? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.